When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
248-539-9797. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, to be joined by the other offensive lineman. He is the one, the only, T.J. Lang. How are you,
What's going on?
How you doing?
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
That's Merry Christmas. That's
happy holidays to everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, what happened to my open? John, did you nix that? You used to hate it.
No,
Super
I don't think
Bowl
we've
champion and all pro open.
Yeah.
What happened to that? I guarantee John nixed that. He hated it.
I got the text message from TJ that says, hey, get rid of the open because I'd rather give you a hard time and announce my own credentials.
Are you the ambassador for the new bowl game?
I would like to actually a couple things added on there. I don't think there was.
Pro sports owner.
Yeah. Screen Actors Guild card holder.
Yes.
Actor.
Are you an ambassador for the new name bowl game? What's it?
I'm a part of that group. Oh, right. So, yes, I do get to.
Yeah, but you can't officially be a part of it because you are a professional sports franchise owner, correct?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe we're breaking some rules that I'm not aware of.
What team does he own? Did I miss something?
It's the 3-on-3 basketball team, right?
We've got the Big Three League. The Big Three League. Yeah, so we've got a team. Hopefully coming to Detroit this year. I mean, it's going a little slower than we thought, but that's still
just
on the table.
Just got to throw more money at it, bud.
Start to learn how business works a little bit, man. But but that's going to be great. We're excited about that. And the same group, Game Above Sports, is representing the bowl game here in Detroit on Thursday. So we're excited about that.
So you, in essence, named yourself ambassador.
I kind of got thrown into that role, and honestly, it cost me some money. Like, he used to pay me for it.
That's right.
Now it's my buddy doing it, and he's like asking for favors. I'm like, damn, do I tell him that
I used to get paid for this? Yeah. That way you can pay yourself.
Hey, can you show up at this thing on Monday? Yeah, sure, man. I got you. Damn it. Lies not to sell it to him anymore. we're excited, though. That bowl game, you know what? That bowl game on... it used to be obviously Motor City Bowl and Quick Lane Bowl, and I remember going to it when I was a kid.
The Cherry Bowl when I was at the Silver Dome?
It was the Motor City Bowl. I think it was 97.
You would have been born.
Probably not.
What year were you born?
87.
Yeah, Cherry Bowl was what, 84?
No, I was here, I don't know.
But I do remember going, like my dad used to take me every year because it was right around Christmas. And
did you see Randy Moss play?
Yeah, I watched Randy Moss and Chad Pennington and Byron Leftwich, I think another year when Marshall would seem like they were playing in it every year. But that was a great memory, like just going to college football game. Right. And it really didn't matter who was playing, but it's something to do during Christmas break. We all know, like, we have kids. You're always finding, like, man, like, we got to get kids out of the house. What are we going to do? For my dad and my family, it was always, hey, let's go spend a day at the Silver Dome and, go watch college football. And it was always great, man. We always had a fun time. So I know bowl games don't really have the juice that they used to.
No.
Just there's so many of them, and the transfer portal's kind of ruining it, and, a lot of that stuff. You don't know who's going to play. But I still have a passion, I think, for just watching – bowl games and some of the fun that goes into it, and there's so many players that's last time they're ever going to play, so just watching some of the raw emotion that you see is for me, I'm always a sucker for it still, even though I know it's kind of losing a little bit of its juice.
There's a chance that that game will be more competitive than the college football playoff games that took place this weekend.
It was a rough go.
Yeah, it was. And I'm not going to sit here and argue about who should have been in and not. I mean, obviously, SMU was just
Well, their quarterback blew. That was the problem.
Yeah, and you know they were moving the ball, and he struggled a lot. And a couple pick sixes sure changed that game, but they looked like they didn't belong. Clemson, you know, surprisingly started to make it a little bit of a close game, and then Texas just, you know, it was like playing with your food. Okay, finish your dinner. Let's get out of here.
And Tennessee, I thought if Tennessee
looked terrible.
I thought if they could have scored because they scored at the end of the first half.
They must have just been cold.
They looked terrible. Because
they warmed up without their shirts on.
Yeah. That's
did anybody that's ever like come to you?
That is undefeated. I swear, anytime a Southern team does that and they're like, shirts off, we're tough. It's like undefeated that they get their ass kicked. I feel like I don't feel like that's ever helped a team that's done that.
If team captain or team leader came to you and said, "Hey, let's go out there and warm up without our shirts on."
Hell no.
No, thank you.
Absolutely not. No, I play the game with no sleeves, and that has less to do with the tough guy than I just wasn't comfortable
wearing
with
long sleeves. Right.
Yeah. You give the defender more to grab onto. Like, I just
all
didn't like
those things.
Wear it.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of tough
warm ups, dude, I'm out there in hoodies and sweatpants. No. The game's 2 hours away, bro.
I know. There were some guys that showed up. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'd look like. And no, I don't want that out there in photograph form.
John, speaking of tough guys, of these four people, who I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. I tweeted it out.
No.
Of these four guys, who would you expect at Soldier Field before the game to not have a hat on? Birchie, Dan Miller, TJ Lang, or Wojo? A winter hat.
To not have a hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, TJ, I think, is, like we always talk about, offensive linemen are smart. He's going to wear a hat.
Okay.
Correct.
And I think Dan is, I want to say this with all due respect, Dan is really pretty.
Feeble?
I think he really presents himself in a very professional manner.
He's in the hair and makeup trailer before.
Yeah. And so, yes, thank you. That's probably the best way to put it. Yeah. So I believe that he would probably have a hat on as well. Very stylish and well-placed hat. I'm going to guess probably... Wojo seems to have I know you got a large head, TJ.
Yeah.
Wojo has an abnormally large bean. And I'm guessing maybe him because he just can't get one to fit.
You are correct. And I tweeted it. I said, is Bob Wanowski afraid of hats or is he more of a man than TJ Birchie or Dan Miller? I opt for the former.
I don't think you can find one that can fit, to be honest with you. And to be fair, I think Miller went the first half of the show without a hat.
Okay.
Tried to tough it out, and we hit the halfway point, and
I was listening. We were headed to a cookie party, so I was listening. I didn't get the visual.
Okay. Yeah, we were. This was the Fox 2 pregame show.
Oh, okay.
Early in the morning.
Yes.
9 o'clock. Well, it would have been 10 o'clock.
Here,
9 o'clock Chicago time. But
I was on a treadmill.
Yeah, the cold was. It was cold, no doubt. I think I overpacked. I had a huge jacket.
They were saying it was supposed to be. I mean, they were presenting it like it was going to be frigid, and it was.
No, it wasn't. It was cold. But it wasn't like bitter cold that like hits your face and it's like, dude, your nose is, you know, freezing up and you're drooling. Like it was not like that. And honestly, I think it helped that the wind was pretty low for Chicago standards. I think it started picking up a little bit at the end of the game, but certainly wasn't the coldest game any of those guys played in. So it wasn't that bad.
Well, it was a damn good game for the Lions. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
I thought it was dominant. I really did.
What was the most important thing you got out of it? We said and a lot of people agreed. Nobody that we know of got hurt, which was number one.
Yeah, big win there. I think the fact that you got your identity back. You know, the past couple weeks we were talking about, man, where's the run game? You know, we're averaging 3.2 yards carry against Green Bay, and Buffalo didn't do anything, and last week, man, we got, Buffalo just ran all over us. You lose your identity, right? You're a physical, tough football team, violent football team. You can't play like that and claim to be those things. So yesterday I thought was a bounce back for just getting back to your style of football, which is running the ball, getting after, Chicago's running backs. I know Caleb Williams kind of inflated those stats a little bit, but DeAndre Swift, 9 carries, 20 yards. Their backups had, Roshan Jett, 1 carry for 3 yards. I mean, that's an incredibly good job against a rushing attack like that. So And then on the offensive side, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, we all knew was going to get more of the workload. And could he prove that he could be that workhorse every down back? I think he certainly did. Not only what he did in the running game, but also the threat that he was coming out of the backfield, making some nice catches. So that was the most important thing to me, was get your identity back. And offense, you know, you got to rebound a little bit. I know the defense took a lot of heat against Buffalo. And yes, they did let up a lot of points and yards, but offense did, you know,
empty possessions
and late in that, go back to that Buffalo game, you know, to start the game, right? For punt, right? And then to start the second half, punt, fumble,
right?
You can't have possessions
that's getting into possessions.
Exactly. So yesterday, how are they going to come out, right? They come out, and I know the first drive ended up in a field goal, but
right.
Then you look at the second half. Okay, it felt like it started getting close there at halftime a little bit. You missed the field goal. Maybe Chicago goes in with momentum. You get the ball, come out, boom, five plays, quick, you know, 79-yard touchdown, bam. Like, there we go. Okay, that's how we answer. So I just thought yesterday it was dominant. I thought it could have been, felt like a game they could have hung 50, you know, 45, 50 points. They did get stopped a couple times in the red zone, which coach is not going to be happy about, because that's kind of his baby. But overall, man, I thought it was good to see them bounce back. And we all kind of saw that coming, too, right? You know what I mean? Like, just their history of coming off of losses, the history of dealing with adversity, and Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, and the message that they portray to those guys throughout the week really resonates with them. So I wasn't surprised at all yesterday with the result, and I thought it was exactly what this team needed to bounce back and can show they can play without some of the guys that are obviously injured.
You talk about the identity, and that's obviously the offensive line, which you guys are obviously so familiar with. And you talked to Christian Mahogany after the game on the post game show. When you look at the tape, film, whatever you want to call it, how did he look? I don't know if everybody looked at the All 22 yet, but they didn't seem to skip a beat. I mean, no offense to Graham Glasgow, but Mahogany looked pretty good from these novice eyes.
I thought so too. And no, I haven't broken down the tape yet, so that's where you get a big clear picture about offensive line play. But there were times where, you know, Lomas and I were looking at each other. Hey, let's watch 73 a little bit on this drive. I liked what I saw, you know, and I'm sure there was a couple plays that need to get cleaned up, but I thought he brought a bit of a spark and a little bit of an attitude. And look, your offensive line, man, especially this late in the season, you're a little banged up, you're a little beat up. Like, it's nice to have a guy that comes in that brings maybe a little energy that can be contagious, I think, to the group. And certainly it helps playing next to Taylor Decker, who's, I think, having a career year, and Frank Ragnow, who's one of the best centers. I'm sure that helps any young guard come in to be able to fit in. But there were some good things coming off the ball. I thought his first couple steps, getting in some of the double teams, were really impressive. And passing off some stunts. I mean, that is really hard for young offensive linemen to do, because you're just so locked in on, okay, I got to block this D tackle, this guy. And then when they run some stunts, you can be a half second behind, which is all you need to get beat in the league. There was a couple times where I'm watching him pass off some stunts, pick up the TEs, pick up a blitzing linebacker, and I'm like, man, like, this kid, the game doesn't look too big for him, you know? And even talking to him after the game, he was like, man, like, it was weird. I wasn't even nervous, right? Like, for my first game in the NFL, I wasn't even nervous. Like, I was just excited, and it just felt good to get back out and play football. I thought it was impressive, especially when you think about early in the season, he didn't even go through a training camp.
Right.
And he was, you know, had that illness that kept him out for a couple months. So for him to catch on late in the season,
without any live reps.
It's impressive. Yeah. And testament to Hank Fraley, too, for getting a kid like that ready. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Guards always have sideboards, so it's a little easier in there. I'll give you my official breakdown.
We have to know a lot.
Yes, nobody's directly.
I got to block this defensive
line. Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you as many questions as they can so that they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. I've been talking about it for a couple of weeks, or for probably a couple of months. Just moved this past weekend, got my mortgage through First Merchants, and whether it was Dan Irvin who set me up with Troy Fairbanks and his amazing team, it was an unbelievable process. They made it as easy as possible. And it's also, when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're going to get access to their high-rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. They're also deeply connected to the community's needs, because it's their community, it's where they live, they work, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Yeah, 82 yards. That's Dan Miller with the call and Lomas and TJ butting in. All right. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. Now you get excited. It's cool, actually.
But yeah, we're allowed to do that.
Damn right you are.
I mean, it is. Like, it plays like that, obviously. Yeah. Everybody, yeah, I think everybody stood up and screamed. So.
Yep.
Did you know that the fake was coming? The stumble bum?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I did sniff it out right away. I'm like, they did that on purpose, right? And everybody's like, did they?
Right. Like, Gibbs is the only thing that kind of gives it away.
He gave it away, and even Goff. And I swear I could hear people yelling, fumble, 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 which it was the Lions players. Like, that was another nuance to that play, too.
Right.
And they clearly, you know, that corner who was supposed to be in that coverage in that deep third clearly kind of got caught looking in the backfield as Laporta ran right by him. So, yeah, it worked, man. That was Coach said all week it kind of it didn't really look good at first. I think Jared said, you know, at first Ben asked, like, if I
put the ball actually on the ground,
like fumble the ball and pick it up and make a throw. It's like, you're getting a little carried away with that.
Did you run this one by Dan yet?
Mm-hmm. So they kind of changed it up a little bit, but it's like a little league play.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, I'm not saying that in a negative way,
it's great.
Yeah,
it's like playing in the backyard.
Yeah, guys, let's go pretend like we fall down.
Run to the tree.
Right, yeah, it's literally, all right, you're the bottle cap, you're the stick. What's that? Oh, it's just some grass. You do this, you do that. I mean, it literally feels like sometimes that's what they're doing. Yeah. That's what it felt like when they first did the hook and ladder.
And it's so cool because I think as the players, like, it just, like, rejuvenates you a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It puts some fun into a game where that can be so serious. Like, man, we got to do this. But when you hear those play calls, like, you can't help but to kind of perk up a little bit. I'm excited to see if this is actually going to work. Like, oh, my God, it actually worked. Like, this is hilarious.
Can you imagine being in the full offensive meeting room when they're like, all right, Penny, I want you to line up over here on the left. We're going to bring you in motion. We're going to hand you the ball. We want you to throw it. Like, I mean, just can you imagine sitting all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh,
yeah,
let's see what goes on here. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and because we've seen things with David Montgomery. We've seen things with Penny. We've obviously things with Skipper. Like, I think everybody is kind of like, are they going to call my number this time? Like, am I going to be in the trick play? You never know. I mean, because their imagination is the only thing limiting them right now.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard to predict. They're unpredictable, right? I mean, it's like every game you go in and you're like, beautiful. Okay, what are they going to do in the red zone? You're like, I don't know. Is Frank going to line up at like fullback? And I don't know. The options are endless. Like, just with the fun that they have and how creative Ben Johnson is.
Yeah,
The fun that they kind of inject into their players. I think you need plays like that just kind of keep you. And it's almost like they reward guys, you know, for doing.
Yeah.
Doing things
they reward
right
with contracts. Like, yeah, they reward them with some fun on the field.
Grind your ass off. We appreciate you. Hey, well, let's see if we can throw a touchdown pass to you.
I do want to touch on it. I know I made some snide comments about, you know, the guard and all that stuff. But Christian Mahogany, I had a chance to watch, obviously, while the game was going on. And there's some times where I'm on my phone because I'm watching it at my brother's house. And I go back and watch a play or two. And the thing that I liked about him, and you kind of hit on some of the things, he didn't have training camp. He didn't have the first handful of weeks of the season where even though it's not game tempo or it's not training camp tempo, the practices are still more intense. He didn't have any of those.
Yeah.
He's basically coming in and having to get NFL ready on glorified walkthroughs or, you know, thud drills.
Yeah.
I thought what I saw from him, if I was going to talk to him before the game and say, hey, this is what I need you to do to be successful, it would be, be in the right place at the right time. Take the right footwork. Play with good pad level. Like, do all the basics of football and don't worry about a stalemate. I'll take a stalemate all day, every day, for a guy that's never played an NFL game and didn't have all of that work. Now they have something to build on because he's got a base.
Yeah.
It was the base of being able to use good technique, good footwork, putting your hat in the right place, your hands in the right place, And more times than not, he did those.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it was a great outcome.
Yeah, he didn't look impatient to me, which some young guys can do, right? Like, I just want to fire off the ball. And he did have the one false start that, I don't know, like Jared was clapping like crazy. The play clock was coming down. I don't think that he jumped on the wrong cat. He just like, oh, man, I'm hearing these guys clapping.
His first start's
the ball's
in
coming.
Chicago.
Oh, man.
I'll take that.
Yeah. But obviously, you know, none of us got to see him play. We don't get to watch practice. So for him to skip, you know, to take that next guard role over a guy who has played a lot of football for you and started the NFC Championship game last year in Coyote Awosika, and nothing against him, but I think that obviously he has shown enough in practice. Mahogany, in talking to some coaches after the game yesterday, you know, the offensive coaches were kind of playing it down like, yeah, man, he's a good player, but, you know, clean some stuff up. And
sure.
Talked to a couple defensive coaches, and they were like, dude, like, this kid can play. You know what I mean? He can play. We watched him throughout the season battling against Aleem McNeil when he's on the show team and battling against DJ Reader and some of the stuff that he's done to our guys. Like, we kind of knew, man, okay, like, this kid's got some – he's got some stuff to him.
Yeah. And he had the reputation
I think he's got a great future.
And he had the reputation of being pretty damn nasty.
Yeah, nasty, physical finisher. And even a couple plays yesterday kind of pushing some linebackers around late and getting under their skin a little bit. You saw some things you like. Now, I got this question a ton yesterday on X. You know, people, oh, man, is he the starter now? Graham Glasgow's your starter.
Right.
He's your veteran guy.
Sure.
He's still one of your top five guys. When he's fully healthy, he is the starter. I just loved that Christian Mahogany showed some potential for
future.
Being a guy that can step in the future, right? Because you are going to have some hard conversations.
Yes.
Zeitler, I think, is on a one-year deal.
Well, and he's not young.
And he's not young.
Graham's
he's
not young.
Years in, right. So when you start thinking about that picture, it's like, man, okay, it's nice to know you got Mahogany back there that looks like he can step
could
in
be a starter.
And help you in the future.
By the way, in talking about the stumble bum play, you know, they were talking about that where it came from. And I've retweeted the Pride of Detroit, Jeremy Reisman, does this really great breakdown of it, and including video from somebody else who had – we have video from September of 2023 where Ben Johnson saw Jordan Love do it, not on purpose, and that's where he got the idea of doing this. It was against the Bears in Soldier Field, and it's pretty interesting to watch. I mean, he fumbles the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
And he picks it up and throws a guy who's wide open.
Well, right. Yeah.
And that shows you – how Ben Johnson thinks.
Well,
he just sees this.
And how he works to go watch like everything. And how can I pick that up? And how can I put this into my, how can I incorporate that into my, how can, okay, I really like the way this did it. How can I perfect this, you know, for our guys to put this, be able to put it in. And I think it's, Ben's a grinder too, man. I mean, he works his ass off, obviously.
Oh, and just some how of the many stuff times he comes up with. Do we see like on a punt return or a kick return, right? The returner like mishandles the catch.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everybody gets out of their rush lane. He picks it up. It happened for, was it Dallas playing the Commanders this year? At the end of the game, who's that little scat?
Turpin.
Yeah,
Kevontae Turpin.
He mishandles it on about the 2-yard line, and you're thinking, oh, man, they're going to get him down inside the 5.
Yeah.
And he picks it up and goes the distance because everybody gets out of their rush lanes. Everybody gets distracted as soon as you either believe the ball's on the ground or the ball is actually on the ground. Now, all of a sudden, it's a free-for-all. And Turpin picks it up and goes to the house.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have ever thought of it myself to implement it on offense, especially with Jared Goff when that's might be what is most sellable is the fact that you
Jared
would think
Goff
Jared Goff could just trip and fall.
Yeah, he did trip a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
obviously.
Fourth and one.
Yeah. So, you're right.
Our telephone number 248-539-9797. We'll take more of your phone calls and your texts for TJ as the Costa and Jansen show with me and for Costa continues next. 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history? That's Stadium Swim. It's located Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games, and boy, oh boy, do we have some big moments coming up. We got the playoffs in college football. We've got great division matchups to end the season in the NFL. Choose one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels. No matter where you are, you got a great view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. You guessed it. It's Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch all these great moments. You've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy daybeds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports. Sunny Vegas, all of it poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircleLasVegas.com.
Yes, the old stumble bum. By the way, for those Detroit Tiger fans who are hoping maybe we get Walker Buehler to come in here and be part of the rotation, bury that fantasy. Reports are that he's going to sign a one-year deal with the Boston Red Sox for $21 million. All right, let's get to the ticket texts on this game here with TJ and John. I have to say about your texts here. We better hope Minnesota game doesn't mean anything. Lions secondary will not be able to cover Jefferson Addison, and our linebackers won't be able to cover Hawkinson. Also, Vilma is an awful broadcaster, calling Gibbs, Jamar, and Jefferson, and he said Scott Daly was the long snapper. He did say that Scott Daly was a long snapper. I did catch that.
Well, Scott Daly's a long snapper for Chicago, isn't he?
I don't know, but it was on the one where the Lions long snapper
pinched it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't get to watch the TV broadcast.
But. Yes. Ross in Ypsilanti says the stumble Ruski was incredible, and that's what I'm calling it.
The stumble Ruski?
Okay. Yes. J-Mo is an athletic freak like Barry Sanders. If they design more long ball plays for him, he's an easy Hall of Famer one day. Oh, let's put on the brakes a little bit as far as gold jackets. That's all.
And I mean, it's not like they haven't had long plays called for him.
No, I know. He's great. I mean, if you use him properly, and he seems to be getting better and better.
Well, and here's the thing. I think there's a lot of defense coordinators, probably 31 of them, that looked at that. And, I mean, everybody else is looking at it going, I'm glad we don't have to play the Lions anymore because it is such an unbelievable threat. Do you tell your safeties, hey, as soon as you see this out of J-Mo, or if you see this formation, if you anticipate this, you should start 2 or 3 yards deeper than original because you can't keep up with them. And now all of a sudden it opens up the middle of the field for every other pass catcher that the Lions have.
Interesting. How about this one?
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Wait until they need a crucial play in the next couple of games. I'm predicting a fake hook and ladder where St. Brown fakes the pitch and keeps it because everyone's preparing for the lateral.
The problem with that one is he's going to have eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to fake it, like you're going to have to, okay, when you make that hook, you're going to have to know where everybody is moving behind you to know whether to pitch it or not because it's a great concept. But if you can't see it, you don't know, well, should I pitch it or should I keep it because your back is turned to everyone.
Did you see the play yesterday that they ran the little reverse and it got blown up and Jameer just like threw it behind like two guys hoping J-Mo was going to run around and grab it? And he did.
Yes.
But it's like, okay, it's a little risky.
My favorite thing other than the impressive win from yesterday's game was the play of Mahogany. Looks like the latest late-round steal of Brad Holmes in the draft. I know it's early, but I expect him to be a starter moving forward, bumping Glasgow to that versatile backup role, and I expect Mahogany to play like a borderline Pro Bowl guard next season and beyond.
Well, let's...
We'll pump the brakes a little bit. Expectations a little bit.
Let the kid grow a little bit. Let him have some... He's going to have some moments that are... will be used as teaching moments, let's just call them.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited about what I saw. And it's just another guy that was, you know, it didn't play. What was the story? He didn't play a lot the last year at BC because he was hurt. It's just another hurt guy that Brad Holmes has had patience with.
Yeah.
And took a flyer because he had faith that the injury would heal and it would eventually be the player that he thought he was.
And I think going back, you know, to that time frame, he was kind of a, you know, second, third round talent. But like you said, I think he had a couple injuries in college that bumped him down. And I think even Mekhi Wingo was kind of in the same boat, too.
I think
he was like kind of, man, this kid's talented. I could get him in the sixth round. Obviously, that's Brad Holmes, you know, doing what he does
look
best.
Look at J-Mo.
Evaluating players and
– yeah.
Yeah, and J-Mo, you know, he's making an impact.
All right.
I love that J-Mo, and I don't know if the TV caught it yesterday, but J-Mo, when he got the penalty early in the game, and he stayed in for another play, and then they'd subbed him out, and I'm watching. But Randall L. was on the sideline, like, ready to...
He was on the prowl.
As J-Mo was kind of doing the slow, like, oh, boy, here it comes. and Dan Campbell comes up and, like, I don't think he shoved Randall L, but it was kind of one of those, like, hey, I got it. Like, let me handle this one. And he kind of pushed Randall L out of the way. And then Dan put his arm around him and had some words. He said, you know, I think he told me that he had to rip his ass a little bit. And
so
he wanted to get back in the game.
I was going
to
ask you that. What do you know what happened?
No, I mean, he clearly said something. Just watching the replay he clearly said something because he didn't do anything on the sideline where, you know, he pushed anybody or threw the football. But it was right as he was running by the ref, you could see him kind of turn his head, and then the ref threw the flag. So I'm assuming he said a mean word, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. The NFL is starting to implement, like, bad language. That's just ridiculous.
Yes.
But, you know, whether it's ridiculous or not,
never said anything like that on a football field.
Well, it's a teaching moment. If you're going to do it, know where the referee is. Like, don't do it within the vicinity of the ref who is going to call you for a penalty. It's the same thing I teach my kid who plays hockey in 13, and these kids talk crap to each other. And I'm like, dude, just know, like, don't, be aware of your surroundings. Like, first of all, you shouldn't say some of those things you're saying. But if you do, make sure it's not right in front of the referee, dude. You know what I mean? Make sure it's away from the ref. Get your head up. Have a little awareness, man. So for J-Mo, it's the same thing. Yes. You're walking right by the ref. Like, if you're going to say something, don't do it right in front of the guy. Wait till you line up the next play against him. Go, you know, hit a run block, and then maybe talk a little trash when nobody can hear you.
Yeah, the conversation between TJ and his, how old's your oldest boy?
13.
13, yes. Here's the way to get around the
just
sportsmanship
rule. Just
don't
get caught. Okay? Just don't get caught, dude.
Don't retaliate.
I can't stop you from talking smack. Just don't get caught, all right?
And don't forget, if you retaliate, you're the ones going to the penalty box, not the guy who did it first.
Exactly.
So be careful about that. What would you think is the one thing from the game yesterday that gives you some sort of pause at all that you didn't like?
Not that I really don't like it, but I think, you know, and kind of got it on the ticket text a little bit, the pass defense at times, especially right at the end of the first half when they scored in like 18 seconds.
The Williams, the Keenan Allen
and a
show?
Lot of it's just like, it's just awareness sometimes on some of the young guys' part. Like, I think Therrien, I don't know if it was his own coverage or man coverage, but he gets beat on a double move.
Right.
Situation like that, you just got to know the only place I cannot get beat is over my head, right? So if the guy's going to fake a little 5-yard out route, great. Like, that's a win for me. Give it to him. And just be prepared for some of those deep shots. So concerning, I don't really know if it's concerning because I like the overall defense. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, you look at what you're going to have to play potentially in the playoffs, and not even the playoffs, but in a couple weeks with Minnesota, their passing attack is on fire right now. And, you know, some of the other teams that you're going to see in the playoffs have good receivers, good quarterbacks. So I'd like to see them tighten up the secondary a little bit. And I know that yesterday the pressure, too, seemed like at times.
Right.
Just Caleb standing back there for 4, 5, 6 seconds, you know, dancing around. And it seemed like it wasn't consistent enough. So I'd like to see Aaron Glenn maybe, and he did early in the game, kind of generate a pass rush with some blitzers. If he blitzed, I think, on
good
two
to
of the
see
first three
back,
plays. But certainly need to step up that pass rush a little bit, too. Caleb Williams had a lot of time for a lot of those passes in the pocket yesterday.
By the way, I'm curious. What do you think of Rex Ryan?
What do I think of him?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know him. Like,
did you see what he's wearing today?
No.
He's wearing a Lions Christmas sweater.
Right. It's a Honolulu blue sweater with a Honolulu blue jacket.
They're going to commercial now, so you won't be able to see.
Well, he's been a big fan of the Lions. Well, I mean, just from some of the clips. I don't watch the show, but some of the
clips.
Well,
because his son's the assistant wide receivers coach. Sean Ryan is his son.
I didn't know that.
He said that earlier. I'm like, I'm not going to go down to the assistant position coaches.
Didn't know that.
Yes. I thought maybe there was a whole lot of feet or something.
Okay, so he does have some
skin
in the game, so to say. I see some clips from Rex Ryan. And, you know, he loves Dan Campbell. He loves Ryan. So it's good, man. And I know Rex, I don't know if he's kind of, you know, aged himself out of today's football.
He wants to go back and
coach
the Jets.
Which is why I say I don't know if he's kind of aged himself out, but you can't deny some of the success that he had with the Jets. I mean, I know you're going back, you know, 12, 15 years now.
Mark Sanchez took him to an AFC Championship game.
They were beating the Patriots. Like, you can't deny that he was a pretty damn good coach.
I know.
And I did know some players that played for him that
loved him.
Yeah, loved him. You know, just did things the right way, a no BS kind of guy. And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like I said, if he even gets an interview Don't know. He might have aged himself kind of out of today's modern day NFL style of football.
Yes,
well, I don't know. Who knows?
I know the pedicure business in that in any city. Exactly, hopes he comes to that.
He's just got to get his foot in the door.
I thought there was a joke in there when you said he's the skin in the game. I'm just I was searching for it, couldn't find it in time.
No, there was.
By the way,
there was
foot fetish.
Toe fetish. Yeah.
There are a couple of people during the game, not many, which thankfully who thought that Campbell should have kicked the field goal when they went for it, when they were already up 17.
14-3.
Yeah, and you know what? What bothered me was the third down call before. They were running the ball pretty good, and he threw the ball in the corner of the end zone, overthrew St. Brown, and then it was another pass on fourth down. That bothered me more than, you're up three scores already, so if you kick a field goal, it's still going to be a three-score game. I had no problem with them trying to, because that would, if they would have converted there and scored a touchdown, the game would have been over then.
You would have stepped on their throat. And yes. I know it still would have been a three-score game if you go up 24 points, but at that point of the game, going up 24 would have absolutely destroyed Chicago's any hope that they had getting back in the game. 17, you're like, okay, we got to score quick, but it's not impossible. 24, you're like, man. Touchdown, two-point conversion. Touchdown, two-point conversion. Yeah, so I did not hate it. Mm-hmm. I honestly was shocked that Thomas Brown, the series before, kicked punted. punted, and then a couple series before that, punted to make it a 17-point game when it was already 20.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I know he's been through, he was a position coach, and then a couple weeks later he's the offensive coordinator, and then a couple weeks later he's a head coach.
Yes.
So yesterday we were talking, there was certainly some time management issues and some decisions that he made that were like, man, you can just tell this is a guy that's just not used to having some of those responsibilities that the head coach does have now. So it was kind of weird that they kicked a field goal to make it a 17-point game because they were down inside the red zone themselves. And I think it was like 4th and 6, 4th and 7. But still, dude, you're a team like that's lost 8 in a row and you're kicking field goals against the best offense in the – just some questionable decisions. But I did not hate Dan Campbell trying to go for it on 4th and 3. I thought J-Mo was wide open on the 3rd and 3. I just don't think Jared saw him. And then J-Mo was open on the 4th and 3, too. And I just think he was targeting his go-to guy, St. Brown. Right. Just didn't work out. But did it make a difference? No.
All right, coming up next, we will look ahead to San Francisco, and TJ will teach us all, and Greg, too, how to sing Go Pack Go. 97.1 The Tick.
Hey, it's the wintry driving season, and there are reckless drivers everywhere. They can't seem to keep their own cars under control. So if you get injured in an auto accident during this or really any time of the year, you need an injury attorney that's going to be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance companies. The injury attorney that you need to hire is David Femininio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak with David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Not one of my favorite Christmas songs.
No?
Where does it stand in your...
It's not the... It wouldn't be in my top 10, I would say. Neither. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't mind any of them, but this is... Yeah. Anyway.
Really? I thought this would...
really pique your interest?
Take you back to your childhood.
No, Little Drummer Boy's, I think, my favorite.
Little Drummer Boy?
Of the classic ones.
Yeah.
Not like the rock and roll ones are different. Bruce. Well,
it's a great one.
That's in the rock and roll.
Yeah.
He does a few others that are really good, too, besides that one. All right. Next for the Lions is the San Francisco 49ers next Monday night. And the 49ers, who would have thought this, eliminated from the playoffs already. They were actually eliminated, I believe, before they even took the field against the Dolphins yesterday, or maybe not. Anyway, they had a decent game throwing the ball. Purdy was 26 of 40 for 313 yards. They couldn't run the ball at all, although it was 4.5 yards a carry, so I shouldn't have said that. But 18 carries, 81 yards.
Yeah, but Brock Purdy was their leading rusher.
Yes, with 28 yards on four carries. They haven't packed it in yet, but... The fact of the matter that the way the Lions lost the NFC Championship game on that field last year, and the fact, what the Lions did in Dallas as well, I kind of think that this is one of these that obviously they need to win, probably, unless...
Well, I mean...
It's a receipt game, right?
Yeah, I think so. Sure. And I think you're going to have a ton of motivation based off what happens Sunday with Green Bay and Minnesota, right? If Minnesota loses to Green Bay, then you're going to have all the motivation in the world to go out to San Fran and lock up the one seed. With a win there, you'd lock up the one seed. And then the Minnesota game doesn't mean anything standing-wise.
Correct.
Right? So, I think it's you're going to have the luxury of, you know, seeing Minnesota, knowing what's going to happen with them. Because even if Minnesota wins and you happen to don't think it's going to happen, but you happen to lose to San Fran,
right,
doesn't really hurt you. It's you're still going to have to beat Minnesota,
right,
at the end of the season anyways to get that one seed. But yeah, I do. I think that clearly this team holds grudges. I think certainly they have a very long memory about some things that have happened to them in the past. And what different than Dallas? I mean, Dallas, you obviously felt like, you know,
you were wrong by the lead,
which you were. Yeah. San Fran, I think it's a little bit of a different grudge because you showed for most of that game
you
can
hang
with them and you can beat them. And then, you know, just a comedy of errors, everything went against you the last 20 minutes or so of that game. So, yeah, but no doubt they're going to have plenty of motivation, really, no matter what happens on Sunday in Minnesota with Green Bay to go out there and kick the hell out of them.
Right. And there's a scenario that the game, if Minnesota wins, the Lions 49ers game means absolutely nothing as far as standing wise. If Minnesota beats Green Bay.
Right, because you would still have to beat Minnesota.
Right.
I know where you're going.
So I'm going to ask you the question. And
the answer is no.
Good. There are people who suggest that they should just rest guys in that game because it doesn't mean anything.
Okay, rest some guys. If you've got a guy that's 70%, and man, if he can play, right, let's say it this way. If Minnesota loses to Green Bay,
right,
and you need all hands on deck to go lock up the one seed,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be guy, okay, I know you're questionable. You know, let's go get this one,
right,
and then let's think about next week.
Right.
If you got a guy that's questionable, and man, yeah, I can play, but man, it's really going to hurt me maybe for the rest of the season. Maybe that's right. A situation where you say, a guy like Graham Glasgow, right, who's clearly beat up. Next week, let's say he gets a little bit better and he's close to playing. If that game means something and you got a chance to lock up the one seed, yeah, dude, we need you. Go gut it out for us. Let's do it right now.
But if the Vikings win Sunday.
If the Vikings win, then it might be, okay, Grant, you know what? We're going to give Mahogany another game. Let's let you rest for the showdown next week, right? So that's the only way I would even think about resting players, right? I'm not going to say, okay, Jared Goff, you're not playing. Jared Gibbs, you're not playing. I'm not doing that. Absolutely not.
Last year, the last game of the season, I don't think had any significance as far as seeding or did it. I don't think so because they all played. Goff played the entire game. The last game was also against Minnesota at Ford Field.
That was also the healthiest they were all season long as well. So they were going into the playoffs as a very healthy team. They could get Anzalone back. I don't know that there's anybody else that might be returning early in the playoffs.
The clock will start this week on Anzalone and Khalif Raymond.
Okay. And still, I don't know if anybody's gotten any updates on Derek Barnes, potentially.
That's the great mystery.
Yeah, like it was never like a season, oh, he's gone for the year, you know, 6 to 8 month type thing. It was just, you know, he's going to be out some time. So maybe he's a guy that could qualify. I have no idea. I don't want to give people false hope, but he could possibly, from everything we know, could be a guy that could get him back for a
couple of linebackers back.
Yeah. Indeed.
Be all right.
All right, Teach, thanks for coming in. I will see you next Tuesday.
Bright and early.
Like 6 a.m. Yeah, when we start.
Whenever we planned, I'm heading right here, man.
That's right.
Sleep on the plane.
Hopefully it'll be an NFC number one seed flight home. That remains to be seen. Carson Anderson coming up next. What's up, boys? Gator, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, I was just taking some time off.
Vacation? Did you go anywhere?
I did not.
No?
No.
Staycation.
Staycation, yeah.
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 The best sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, it was the best. Time off. It was good.
Can I chump Josh Heupel, by the way? He bothers me for some reason.
The professional bowler?
No, isn't that the
Tennessee
Heupel? He looks like the orange shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a professional bowler.
I like your reasoning.
Yeah.
He just bothers me.
Yeah. He's got a punchable
face. Was like throwing a hissy fit the entire game on the sideline.
He's a quarterback.
He was a real douchebag, too, to the sideline reporter during halftime. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's just like to the sideline reporter, he was being so like arrogant with her and like bothering me. I don't got time for you. Just
there's one question and he couldn't even answer one question.
Yeah. He's my jump.
He's one of those guys, almost goes into the
just something
category.
About you.
Well, no, besides that. Guys who look like they smell.
Wow. Like Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
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 Not only that, he also looks like a guy, and I know he's very smart, you know, football-wise, offense, he's kind of out there, but he doesn't look like he's that smart. You know what I mean?
Oh, he looks stupid, is what you're saying?
Hypo is just getting annihilated this morning.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little irritated, but I'm not going to sit there and say he looks like a dummy.
We call him a DB. Doesn't look smart. Looks like he smells bad.
He's a professional bowler.
Yes.
Hypo just catching strays.
Yes, indeed. All right. Besides that, Champ and Chump, what do you guys got going?
There's obviously.